One of the problems, for example, with, let's say, electric cars, somebody called in before, and I'm not that familiar with electric cars as much as I am more to the hydrogen hybrid types, but a pure electric car, I said, how far can you go before you have to go get a recharge? She said, 50 miles. I mean, who wants that? Where can you go with 50 miles other than, you know, pop around town every once in a while?
Well, I'll tell you what, George. I had a gentleman here several years ago who drove from California to Detroit, and I recharged him in my garage. we just plugged him into the dryer outlet, and he drove all the way. So it can be done. I mean, it's a long, laborious. But advocates, you know, like the lady that you were talking to, the advocates of a battery electric car technology, their point is that 80%, 85% of the driving that we all do is under 20 miles a day. Now, though there are those times when you need to go longer, you know, and they contend that's why they have other cars, or if they need to, they can take and rent a car to take them further. An acquaintance of mine is the actor Ed Begley Jr. I don't know if you're familiar with Ed or not, but Ed actually has a couple of different cars. He's got a Toyota RAV4 electric, which is a battery car, and it'll do 85, 90 miles on a charge. He does virtually all of his driving around Los Angeles in that car. When he has to go on a location shoot, for example, I think was recently in a series that was being shot up in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Then he has a Toyota Prius, and he'll drive the Toyota because he doesn't like to fly, and there's no really good train service, so he drives the Prius. So, you know, there are situations where you have, you know, a multiple car family. One of those cars, they argue, can be an electric car. And that's how they sort of get around that issue. However, there's technology developing that may allow us to have, the kind of range that most of us are used to, 200-300 miles before, you know, you need to worry about getting a recharge.
Yeah, well, and how long does a recharge take?
Oh, typically you're looking at, depends on how the depth of charge, but typically you're looking 5 to 8 hours.
So, wait a minute. So if you drive 200 miles and you, if it were gasoline, you fill up and you're gone again. In this case, you got to wait that long?
No, because what we're talking about, George, is a new technology called plug-in hybrids. And we'll talk about that maybe a little bit later if you're interested.
Well, let's talk about that now.
Okay.
If we could. Plug-in hybrids?
Imagine, remember I was saying that 85% of the driving that most of us do, not everyone, but most of us do, is about 20 miles a day. That's according to the Department of Transportation statistics.
That seems low to me, but let's assume that's right.
Yeah, I think the actual number is about 24 miles is the average. But some people are higher, some are lower. Mine is my commute is exactly that. I'm 12 miles one way, 12 miles back. So I do the 24. But let's say, for example, that most of the drive, 70-80% of the driving you do is inside of a 50-mile window radius. That particular part of your drive could be done on electric power only from the batteries. But this plug-in hybrid, and by the way, could be done for pennies rather than, you know, nickels or dimes.
Yeah.
Okay, because you're running it off of off-peak electricity that the power company would love to sell you at night when that electricity is doing nothing and not generating the utility any income. So you've got that part of it. So you got a car that's got batteries in it that'll take you 30 miles, 50 miles. Once you get outside of that particular range, then what happens is it also has an internal combustion engine in it. So if you want to go those long distances, then that gasoline engine kicks in, and now you've got sort of the conventional model like you have with the Toyota Prius.
But doesn't that kind of defeat its whole purpose?
Well, that's an argument that the car companies make. They said, well, why would you want to be carrying around 85% of the time an internal combustion engine?
I agree with that.
15% of the time.
Yeah.
Right?
So
that is an argument. But on the other hand, you know, you're telling me that you want a vehicle that will do more, that will only take 5 minutes to refuel and will do 300 miles range, right?
Yep.
Okay.
That's what I want.
So So the only way you're going to get that is we have to look at some kind of form of liquid fuel to do that, for now.
So that is maybe hydrogen?
Well, no, it's not going to be hydrogen, because you won't get the range out of a hydrogen vehicle that you're currently getting out of a battery vehicle.
So then what does that lead us?
So that leads us then to various types of alternative liquid fuels, in this case, biodiesel fuel, ethanols, fuels made out of natural gas. There's a company, what's the name of the company, out of the East Coast somewhere, that actually is actually set up a refinery in Missouri that takes the offal from a turkey farms.
Yes,
and
yes,
converts
that's true.
That into a liquid fuel.
Absolutely. Well, ethanol, of course, those are derivative from corn.
Not all ethanol, actually.
No? Okay, but what, it's other plant life, right?
It's other plant materials, right.
Okay. Can they create enough fuel to take care of our needs by growing things?
In the United States, we estimate that you could replace about one-third of our current gasoline consumption with ethanol.
One more time.
Given the amount of acreage that we can devote to it without impacting what we actually have to grow to feed ourselves, that we can take and eventually replace one-third of the gasoline that we currently use. Remember that 10,000 gallons per second?
Yep.
We can replace 3,000 of that with eventually, not now, eventually with ethanol.